Good morning, folks. You're listening to Right Side Up with host Bill Huff and Mike Taglivia, where we're talking local politics with an emphasis on what's happening in your neighborhood. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing well. But you're ready to go. You're ready to rumble here, right?
I am tweaked.
Well, why don't we get right into it?
I need to do a little bit of rant. Well, there's a couple of things.
Yeah, I got you torqued here today.
Arrogance and hubris on the part of state's attorneys, one in particular, Sarah George, Chittenden County state's attorney, and the arrogance of some of these legislators.
Yeah, so some of the listeners may not have heard the latest from Sarah George, the Chittenden County state's prosecutor. Go ahead and tell folks what this is all about.
This article comes from the Vermont Daily Chronicle by Michael Belosky. In a November 22 video of Chittenden County State Prosecutor Sarah George reveals her ambition to, quote, dismantle the criminal legal system as her main motive for entering this line of work.
That's why she went to law school.
Yeah. You know, so, and the thing that bothers me is she swore an oath when she took the job. She was apparently appointed by Phil Scott, who I think should promptly demand her resignation after this.
Well,
this forum that she went in.
Yeah. Go ahead. Continue.
She also admits to firing prosecutors that she disagreed with and not formally charging offenders with crimes whenever possible, among other statements. Now, this statement here, she did decline to prosecute the machete murderer, who Phil Scott, thankfully, told the attorney general, who I believe, if I remember correctly, was T.J. Donovan, and they did charge this man, who was then convicted, and I believe just this month or last month was due to be sentenced. But Sarah George just was going to kick him free.
Was this the one that didn't speak English?
Yes, and he hacked his wife.
He hacked his wife up.
Yeah. He murdered his wife in front of kids or a number of people and attacked someone else, I believe.
Well, he's an oppressed class, so that's what the left has to do now, this radical left. You divide everybody up into oppressors and oppressed.
Well, was the person that he murdered what part of the oppressed class? Does that matter?
No, it doesn't. That doesn't count.
So deep into bizarre world, it's not even funny.
Well, it really is. You know, a quick story, if people hadn't seen it, there's actually a lot of videos been going around the last couple of days out in Vegas.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Oh, my God. You got to take a look. So there was a guy in there. He's got three previous felonies. He's abused and beaten up several women, I think 8 or 9 times now. He's been in on charges, and that's what he was in court again for, was beating up somebody with a baseball bat.
Nice guy.
Oh, he's a wonderful guy. He was pleading his case. Oh, judge, you know, I've turned the corner and I'm doing okay now, and I'm not on drugs, and I haven't committed any crime. You know, now I'm straight, and he expected, I think, to get off, and he expected the judge to say, well, yeah, okay, great, that sounds great, you know, and take off. Well, the judge says, there's an older woman. She says, no, you know what? I don't think you're getting the message here. We're going to have to do something a little different this time. And she started trying to sentence the guy to jail, and he came flying over the top of the judge's bench and started wailing on this woman.
And in front of numerous court officers.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody else.
Oh, the bailiff and somebody else that was up near the judge, you know, pulled this guy off her, but he got in a bunch of licks before they did. She was injured. There was another guy that had stitches by the time they were done. But you know what, Mike? Talking about bizarro world, the guy is out. She was going to put him in jail, but because they couldn't finish the sentencing, they turned him loose until he can come back now and get sentenced and stand for beating up on the judge.
You can't make this crap up.
You can't.
Wow. Insane. You know who I feel sorry for the most? The law enforcement officers who go out there and put their lives on the line. Hauled thugs like this guy you're talking about into jail, process them, get them into trial, and then the way the system is set up, this guy's back out on the street to victimize more people. How many people must be victimized?
Well, three felonies and nine assaults, I think, you know, was the total for this guy at that juncture. But, you know, he said he wasn't going to do any more, that he was straightened up. It lasted about 15 seconds before he started wailing on the judge.
Yeah. I found an interesting quote on the internet. I don't remember who said it, but it's very pertinent to this. It was basically, mercy to the guilty is cruelty to the innocent. And this is perfect example.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
It's absolutely insane.
But get back to the Sarah George right here in Vermont.
Yeah.
So she was at the some kind of a forum that was at Harvard,
The event was co-sponsored by the Bernard Cotin Office of Public Interest Advising at Harvard Law School and Fair and Just Prosecution, an organization funded by left-wing philanthropist George Soros. Imagine that.
So, but she actually admitted during this forum that was her motivation to go to law school, get a law degree, and become the county prosecutor, was so she could dismantle the justice system.
And put...
because she didn't like it.
Honest, hardworking Vermonters at risk is what she's doing. And law enforcement officers who were sworn to uphold the law. So, like I said, if our listeners want to go on Vermont Daily Chronicle and find the article, in the article is the video from YouTube. It's an hour and 17-minute video, so it shows Sarah George and the other people who were on the panel. And, I didn't see the whole forum, but Michael in his article describes some more quotes from her, and it's just appalling that people are willing to put honest, hardworking Vermonters at risk for this ideology.
Yeah, and that's all it is, and it's ruining this state. That's one of the things that is just crushing the state of Vermont, driving people away, driving businesses out from Church Street. It's just unbelievable. But you had another one there that kind of fit the bill too, right?
Yeah. Well, the other one here is from Behind the Lines by Rob Roper. And it's Senator McCormack. Am I so out of touch? No, it's my constituents who are wrong. This is the
put it in context. See, the silly session has begun. The Vermont legislature is in session now.
Right, yeah.
And I think this was some of his first comments. He was in committee, I think, the Energy Committee.
Yes, he was in committee. And there's video in this article, too, so you can actually listen to it.
Oh, yeah. But the idea was they were going around the table before they really got started, first day back on the job, and talking about their, you know, their hopes and ambitions and, you know, what they first saw coming in this legislative session. So McCormack made the comment that he'd been getting a lot of calls, I think in particular about S5. And we talked about S5.
Quote, "I'm not happy," says McCormack, with stern disappointment rippling through his countenance. Quote, with where the public seems to be on what we're doing, I get constituent calls telling me that we're wrong to try to raise people's energy costs.
Gee, imagine that.
Yeah.
People are upset that it's going to cost them more money.
They're digging into their savings to pay for necessities.
Well, trying to stay warm.
This man doesn't get it.
Well, no, he doesn't, because like you said when we first started talking, he blamed his constituents. Well, the constituents just they're not smart enough to understand all the good that I'm actually doing them.
Well, this is the same senator who called this S5 legislation a Rube Goldberg contraption.
Because he didn't understand it.
Maybe, Bill. Maybe he's the Rube. Maybe.
Yep.
So, like I said, Rob Roper, Behind the Lines, if you want to read the whole article, but this really, I've been stewing about this, and I just wanted to get it off my chest and let our listeners know maybe they didn't see it so they can do a little bit of research. Because what do we talk about with respect to Sarah George? She was appointed. Who knows what her other ambitions are? But if she winds up on a ticket, remember what we talked about on this show. and what her goals were. This Senator McCormack, he was elected by the people of Windsor.
Windsor County.
He's raising Senate. Your energy costs. He's making your life more difficult.
Well,
remember this.
And Senator McCormack's not the only one that voted for that. I think every Democrat did. The other two Windsor County senators, White and...
I can't remember. O'Brien?
No.
He's in Tunbridge, right?
Clarkson,
okay.
Right. They all voted for it. They're all in favor of it as well.
McCormack was pretty outspoken about, you know, being upset with his constituents.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This was first day back on the job. Yeah, boy, it's just too bad my constituents is too dumb to understand all the good that I'm doing them, even though, you know, I'm costing them more money than they can afford. We talk about affordability, crime all the time. The last couple of shows, we've been talking about the Campaign for Vermont survey that was done, which just proves the point that these people are absolutely out of touch.
It's
out of touch.
I didn't think they would be that bold and start talking like this between Sarah George and this McCormack. I mean, if you don't get what they're after, I don't know how else we can explain it to our listeners.
I don't think it's bold. I think you're right. When you first started talking about it, it's hubris.
It's arrogance.
And we say this all the time. The constituents just don't matter.
Well, these people are
there for an ideology, and that's it.
But they don't understand. They're public servants. They're supposed to be. They're not.
No, they're saving the world. They're there for their own ideology. Yeah. It doesn't make any difference what the survey says, what people think. All the calls that McCormack is getting, opposing.
Yeah.
S5 and all the additional fees and costs associated with it. They don't understand that, you know, people are living paycheck to paycheck right now. This is insane. So we've still got a couple of minutes, but we are going to get into Governor Scott's State of the State address that was just a couple of days ago.
Right.
Because, you know, everybody knows one of Phil's big things is affordability. And crime is another one that he's talking about quite a bit.
Well, nothing the legislature did made this past session made Vermont more affordable. And it doesn't look like this session is going to be any different.
Oh, no. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think it was about 2 hours before Governor Scott gave his State to the State address, the legislature, the House, actually met and overrode a veto that he had made last spring when it comes to a bottle bill. And one of Governor Scott's objections was it's going to cost us a lot more money. It's money out of our pockets. And the legislators that I saw were saying, oh, no, we're going to force the companies to pay. Pays in the end?
Here again, we just talked about this, the hubris.
The arrogance.
That these people don't think that we understand that the cost is just the manufacturers or whoever that the legislature is going to charge are just going to make us as consumers with the end consumer, and we wind up footing the bill anyway.
Oh yeah, we're all going to pay more, and I don't think that they're that not intelligent. They understand, but they don't want to really look at the facts. And like I said,
and they hope we don't.
Ideology driven. Well, and that's just it. Election coming up in the fall, and people need to start paying attention to this thing.
Yes.
So we are gonna get into the governor's speech. He gave the state address a few days ago, and we're gonna talk more about that. Probably a lot of you working during the day and weren't able to listen to it. So we're gonna be right back here in just a few more minutes with more Right Side Up. We're we're back. We've been talking about a couple of things here. They got Mike off on a rant this morning. Arrogance and hubris.
Look, Bill, do you imagine how many rants I could go on if we had a longer show?
Oh, man. If we would just hit the record button when you first show up.
When I show up to prep.
The studio. Oh, my word.
How many shows would we have?
So we are going to change gears. We're going to, like I said, we're going to move on to the governor's state of the state, because I would assume that probably most people didn't take the time to listen to it. So there's a couple of different areas here that I just wanted to highlight. So briefly, this is from his speech. Governor Scott said, as of 2022, we have 14,000 fewer kids under the age of 18 than we did in 2010. During that same period, we have 28,000 fewer adults aged 40 to 54, which is the core of our workforce. And we have 48,000 more over the age of 65. This can mean higher per pupil costs, declines in income and sales tax revenue, and increased demand for services like health care. Joint Fiscal Office concluded if nothing changes, Vermont's ratio of older residents to working age people will continue to rise, placing a greater burden on workers to support both young and old. To have any chance of reversing our demographic trends, there are three issues we can't ignore: public safety, affordability, and housing. So those are the...
He's correct.
Well, and he is correct. And he did try to call the legislature out on some of these issues. I wouldn't call it an attack, but he did... You know, say, you guys are kind of the ones that are, you know, been pushing this stuff. You've been in control for years, and I've been telling you the demographic thing was a real problem, and it's going to bite us, and now it is biting us. And and he kind of not demanded, but said, you know, it really needs, these three issues really need to be addressed this session. We need to do something about it now. And so the brunt of his speech actually focused on those three things: public safety, affordability, and housing. And you and I talk about public safety and affordability all the time.
All the time.
I mean, that's what the first segment was about, about public safety and affordability.
Yeah, and when I ran, that was, you know, public safety was the most important part of my platform. It made total sense.
Well, even...
And
even,
it does today, still, and, you know, like the governor said.
Well, let's move on here, because Governor Scott did have something to say about public safety, and so we'll use his words here. A growing number of headlines share news of the latest murder, drug-related shooting, and small businesses struggling and increasing with increasing vandalism and theft. According to reports from the Council of State Governments, in 2017, Vermont had the second lowest property crime and second lowest violent crime rates in the nation.
Second lowest.
5 years later, by 2022, we had dropped to 18th and 8th.
So we went from the second safest state to way down the...
The last 10 years, violent crime reported to police increased 56%. Aggravated assault by 65%. Sexual assault by 76%. And homicide by 166%. We cannot deny these trends. When those who victimize others are put back on the streets hours after being apprehended, only to reoffend again and again, Vermonters question law enforcement, prosecutors, our courts, and they question the wisdom of the work done here in this building. So it's just what we were just talking about.
Yes.
And to Governor Scott's credit, you know, here's an attempt to try to call the legislature out on this particular issue on crime. And at least he was willing to admit we got a problem. I mean, you and I talk
it's
about
a huge,
it all,
yeah,
all the
we
time.
Talk, yeah. It's a very big problem. Like you talked about in the survey, how many people feel safe? And why is it?
Yeah. I forget the number, 35, 40% or something like that don't feel safe in their own community. And this is Vermont?
Yeah.
Homicides increasing 166%. You know, we were kind of keeping track here the last couple of months, November, December. I saw on the news the other night, we beat the record, 27.
Another record we never wanted to break.
27. The last 2 years, it's quadrupled from, you know, pre-pandemic. And homicides. Unbelievable. But yes. At least, you know, I think he does realize that that's one of the things holding the state back. You can't expect businesses to come here and profit. You can't expect families to move here.
They're going to see these statistics.
Absolutely.
Too. Anybody looking to move to a new state is going to look at its stats just like he talked about.
And like he said, the trend is bad news.
Yes.
With no inclination that the legislature is going to do anything to actually correct it. As a matter of fact, they're the ones that have driven this problem over the last several years.
Yeah. It like we were talking about before we started recording, you know, some of the craziness that the supermajority has in store for us this session. We're going to have plenty to talk about. I wonder how much is going to be positive for us.
Well, look at the first segment. We're talking Sarah George.
Yeah.
Her whole purpose in life is to dismantle the legal system, the justice system here in Vermont. Do you think she's contributed to those figures, those stats?
She most definitely has.
Of course she has.
And apparently she's proud of it.
She's
apparently set goals and she's meeting some of them.
Yeah, she's doing just like she wanted to do. Yeah, I don't know to whose benefit.
Well, I guess, I don't know. Maybe she's trying to gain street cred in the liberal progressive movement.
Oh, I'm sure they love her. That's probably wonderful. Subject area. We'll move on here a little bit more from the governor's speech. She talked about education for a while. The cost of our pre-K through 12 education system has already grown beyond the means of many. As you know, it's about to grow even more. Because if nothing changes, we'll see an estimated 18.5% increase in statewide property tax bills. And that's after we use a $37 million education fund surplus to buy rates down. In total, this would be $250 million tax increase on Vermonters. The education fund is now more than $2.1 billion with fewer than 83,000 pre-K through 12 students. We're spending about $25,000 a year per student, among the very highest in the country.
And you and I talked about this. Was it last show or the previous one? Mississippi, 46th. In the states, 46th in spending, and they are doing much better proficiency-wise than we are.
Well, yeah.
Way better.
And we talked about the high schoolers in Brattleboro, I think it was, that were reading at an elementary school level.
That's another statistic we don't want in Vermont.
And Governor Scott goes on to say that, and you know, that amount of spending, the most in the country, you're very near the most in the country, right, might be okay if we were leading in student performance. But in several areas, we're in the middle of the pack, according to the U.S. Department of Education.
If we're lucky, we're in the middle of the pack.
If we're lucky. And then you've got these incidences like Brattleboro, where you got high school kids. I think it was high school freshmen reading at elementary school level.
And how are they going to expect to get into college if some of these kids expect to be going to college?
Well, they will, because taxpayers are paying for it. And there are no expectations in college these days either.
Yeah,
there's no standard.
Well,
that's what the left wants. You know, it's an attempt to make everybody equal. So you dumb everybody down to the lowest common denominator.
Lowest common denominator.
And here we are.
So I think this is all a move by the left to turn Vermont into just a country club for the super wealthy.
Well, that's what's going to happen. The average Vermonter is not going to be able to afford this. 18.5% increase in property taxes to fund the education when we're already the highest or one of the highest in the whole country at $25,000 per student.
Yeah. 18.5% increase in this, 20% increase in your registration fees, trying to afford groceries, trying to afford the increases in
9% inflation.
I don't know. How do you get 9% inflation when, what was it reported this past Thanksgiving that your Thanksgiving dinner was going to cost you 17% more? How is there only 9% inflation, but it's your dinner is going to cost 17% more?
Well, because it deals with the basket of goods that the inflation figures are based on, which doesn't include things like health care, premiums, you know, certain items. That there's a designated basket of goods that the numbers are based on. But, yeah, everybody knows that, you know, inflation is just kicking everybody's butt right now.
Very hard.
And now we're going to throw on, you know, additional real estate taxes. And by the time we're finished here, the show here today, I've got even more bad news for Vermonters. It's going to cost even more than that. I did want to make the point here, though. Governor Scott did say, please know, this is not a critique of our teachers or our students. It's a result of an education infrastructure that is too large for the number it serves. So not enough money is making it to the kids.
Well, that's very true statement.
Well, people are leaving Vermont. I forget now, we're, 30% fewer students than we were, you know, a decade ago, or 30 or 40%. Families can't afford to stay here. They're leaving. They're choosing to live elsewhere, taking the kids with them, and the costs are just rising exponentially. We did a program on the South Burlington school that was just replaced at I think it was close to $200 million. They're working on it.
And how much over budget you think that project is going to be by the time they're done, Bill?
And the thing is, they were tore that school down because of the PCBs, and we did a segment on a show months ago about a person in Burlington that finally realized that the PCB levels met federal standards.
Yeah, it's interesting you brought up the PCBs, because just this weekend I had a discussion with somebody about that, because they were talking about the cost of replacing schools, and apparently he saw something that there was a report they want to replace them all because of the PCBs.
Well, that's why I say that 18.5% is a drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
Because now, to meet state standards, not federal standards, to meet state standards, they're going to be rebuilding schools all over the state.
That was the discussion we had. He was talking about all this so-called pollution in these schools. I said, when you set the bar so low, you get what you want. You get all your new schools because you say there's, you know, it exceeded I guess it's parts per billion, and I can't remember what the number was. But Vermont set it up so that, okay, our schools need to be ripped down and rebuilt.
Yeah, well, the state legislature and their infinite knowledge determined that the Fed requirement or the Fed maximums weren't sufficient. So I'm just trying to recall, we did the show 6-8 months ago.
Yeah.
They set a standard that was very, very low, and then realized that, oh, gee, I think we goofed, because
then they need to close the state, right?
Yeah, well, pretty much. I mean, there's naturally occurring items that exceeded their standard. So they did something about it. If you remember, Mike, they doubled their standard, but it was still half of what the federal standard was.
But it achieved their goal. Oh, look, our school needs to be replaced.
Yeah, to the tune of $200 million. One more thing here before we go on to break. Governor Scott continues, so think about those folks who are just barely getting by, living paycheck to paycheck, already deciding what bills to pay and what to do without. They're all going to struggle to figure out how to pay for this, not to mention inflation that we just talked about, the still making everything more expensive, or future burdens like the payroll tax you passed last year that will take effect in July. Or the 20% increase in DMV fees that began just a couple days ago. Concern about taxes, fees, and increased costs is a concern about people. So he tried to put it in personal terms. But, you know, here again, I do give him credit for trying to call out the legislature. He said, you guys are the ones that pass these bills that are increasing the cost and forcing everybody to decide.
Hurting Vermonters.
Heater food. Hurting Vermonters. Yeah, we're going to talk about the speech a little bit more in the next segment. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Right Side Up. My name is Mike Taglavia. My co-host is Bill Huff. We've been covering the governor's State of the State address with the opening or just before the opening of the Vermont legislature and him calling out the legislature for some of the damage that he's done to the economy and things like that. And it's good that he's called them out. Hopefully a lot of people are, well, they're noticing. I don't know if they're sure of why their savings are being depleted, why everything is costing more, why their taxes are higher. Them noticing, or Vermonters noticing, that everything is so much more expensive, coupled with listening to our show and others, will help to change the makeup of the legislature next session.
Well, you can only hope. I want to just revisit that last thing we were talking about just briefly, because Governor Scott did point out the fact that the legislature has kind of done this to us. He mentioned inflation, and we've talked about that.
Yes.
9% or better for some items, still at 3.5% or so in compounding. But he did mention this future burden, like the payroll tax that you passed last year, he said, that won't even take effect until July. So we're talking about an 18.5% increase in property taxes to fund education. But here's a payroll tax that if you're working, you're going to be subject to, that hasn't even started coming out of your paycheck yet.
Not yet.
But you and I talked about this a lot last year because this was one of the programs that was never fully funded. They put a little seed money, $137 million or $37 million.
They planted a little time bomb that's not going to explode till the middle of the year.
Well, the payroll tax itself won't start until the middle of the year, but here's the time bomb. You and I both knew that they were going to come back this year and try to find money to fully fund it. Now it'll be in effect, a whole fiscal year.
Well, now they're going to come back and say, well, we have this program, but it's not fully funded, but they're going to leave out the details that you and I are covering.
Well, that's why there's going to be a bill introduced in the Vermont legislature to increase your income taxes by 10 to 11%. That's to pay for this particular program.
Where's all the money going to come from?
Well, that you know that
how many
that's,
how hard can you bleed us?
It's just unbelievable, unfathomable to think that anybody in this state, unless you're very very wealthy, can afford the rate of inflation on top of 18.5% real estate tax increase, a 10 to 11% increase in your income taxes, a 20% across the board DMV fee increase that started January 1.
Yeah.
This is unbelievable. When Governor Scott talks about people living paycheck to paycheck, he's not kidding.
No, not at all.
There are people out there deciding, heat or food or medicine.
This is going to be a state full of second homes. It's going to be like a giant country club because the average Vermonter is not going to be able to handle this.
And you know what takes the cake? Do you remember, you know what girds me, Mike? Do you remember last year, the end of the session, when the legislature voted to double their pay?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Why, are they going to bring that back?
Oh, of course it's coming back.
Because they're saving the world? Because
It's all that good work that they're doing out there that people just don't understand. The people got to smarten up.
They're worth it.
And realize good these people are doing.
Yeah, because they're worth it, right? Wasn't it? There was a commercial, because I'm worth it. Remember that? Years ago?
Yeah.
I'm dating myself.
Double their pay. It's going to be over a couple of years, but the intent of the bill was to double their pay and benefits, all the while increasing our cost. 18.5% real estate, 11% income, payroll tax, 20%.
Would this qualify as a let them eat cake moment?
This is just out of this world. It's hard to fathom that anybody could think that, the state of Vermont is going to be able to afford this. This is just ridiculous.
No.
Well, and let's move on a little bit here. I'm going to quote Governor Scott's speech again here for just a little bit. Potentially more money, because remember he was focusing on crime, housing and affordability, right?
Right.
So we haven't talked about housing yet. So Governor Scott did have some stats about the state of housing here in Vermont. So he starts off, since March of 2020, we've invested over $500 million to fix vacant units, construct new homes, and expand shelter capacity. This is unprecedented. And it's on top of the $37 million housing bond we passed in 2017, which at the time was the biggest investment we'd ever made. Overall, we're seeing about 2,200 residential units permitted each year. About one-third of these, around 700, are state-funded. Consensus data and vacancy rates show that to meet current demand and create a healthy market that puts downward pressure on prices, we need 6,800 units right now. Most of the funding goes to homes that cost on average $450,000 per unit to develop. If you do the math, we need 4,600 more units at $450,000 a piece. We need another $3 billion. $3 billion more in public and private funding just to fill the gap that we have today. Where do you think that $3 billion is going to come from, Mike?
They're going to try to bleed us more for it.
Absolutely. They're not done raising taxes. They're not done raising fees, because housing is one of the things that the legislature has vowed to tackle this session as well.
Everything they say they're going to fix, you know what they do? They break it. They break it.
You know what $3 billion would do to our already bloated budget? I mean, the total state budget was $6 billion. Like 3-4 years ago. Now it's over $8.5 billion. Tack on another $3 billion?
Yeah, it's just unfathomable, like you said, that they think that people are going to tolerate this. I hope, that I really kind of hope that the arrogance keeps going, because then it's really going to tick people off, and then there's going to be no doubt that we'll have a change.
We talked about this last, I think our last show. I'm not sure that they're there yet, Mike. Are people ticked off enough yet to actually vote differently than they have in the past? I don't think so. I'm not sure what it's going to take. Maybe it's that additional $3 billion.
Doubling their tax bill? I don't know. That's what's going to wind up.
Well, that would mean that the budget would go from $6 billion a few years ago to 11 and a half, 12? Yeah, it would double.
No, I'm talking about
4 or 5 years.
Double the a homeowner's tax bill by the time you get done. Look,
well,
at
we're close to doing that already. By the time you fathom in the inflation, the real estate taxes, income taxes, DMV fees, the payroll tax, It doesn't take long, because remember, all of this compounds, because they've done this before and now they're doing it again. So these increases compound. It doesn't take long at all.
No.
For prices to double.
And just to remind, the DM fees were not necessary. Agency said they weren't necessary. In education, they wanted increases to get the universal school lunches. People in the education department didn't want it.
We got it anyway.
Got it anyway, because the legislature knew better.
So this was something here too, Mike, that I think was really important. Scott did say, if we don't truly address Act 250, we won't solve our housing crisis. And that is the absolute truth.
It is.
And I think it was a year and a half ago, it might have been two summers ago now, Act 250 had its 50th anniversary. It had been enacted 50 years ago. So the legislature, in their infinite wisdom, decided that they were going, it was time for a review after 50 years. And I thought, oh my God, thank God they're actually going to go in here and they're going to, take a look at Act 250.
They're going to put it on steroids, aren't they?
They doubled down on everything that 250 did. They doubled down on all of the bad things that Act 250 is doing. It was incredible. I couldn't. You talk about arrogant, Mike.
Yeah.
It was.
Look, like I said, they're trying to turn this beautiful state of Vermont into a country club for people who are extremely wealthy, and all they want to do is have their service workers show up and then leave so we can enjoy our little country club state called Vermont.
So Governor Scott did, he took a few jabs, not an attack, but he did point out the fact that, you know, the legislature is the ones that have been increasing these.
He pointed out the obvious.
Yeah. But then he kind of softened his approach, and he talked about political parties and partisans will have, you know, their agendas, and we owe it to Vermonters to put all that aside and make real progress on public safety, affordability, housing needs, because these issues aren't don't discriminate based on your party affiliation. So this is what has kept Governor Scott in office for years, is this ability to try to present a bipartisan approach, tripartisan approach with the progressives here in Vermont. But this is where I think the speech really went off the rails. He actually thinks that by pointing these problems out to the legislature and asking them to do something about it, that they're going to join him in keeping the next year's budget to a 3% increase or less.
I hope he's not betting too highly on that.
These Dems, they don't care. We've talked about this already in the show. They don't care. They've got an agenda, and they don't care what it costs. If they gave a 2 cents worth about what it's costing, what it's doing to Vermonters, then we wouldn't be in the pickle that we're in now.
We wouldn't have this much to talk about. So
the rest of the speech was kind of a softball thing. He went on and talked about a bunch of different folks, you know, that are building their community, working together in the face of the floods and you know, changing weather and all this other stuff, all with the idea that, you know, we're all going to sing Kumbaya at the end of this thing and fix it. But I tell you what, like I said, that's why I think he went off the rails, just thinking that was actually going to be the case.
I hope it is, but I think it's a pipe dream.
Well, like we mentioned at the beginning of the show, 2 hours before that, what did the legislature do? They overrode his veto from last spring and cost us more money.
That doesn't show very much bipartisanship, does it?
Nah, they don't. They're not going to care. Just unbelievable. Oh, and then, I almost forgot. There's a couple other things that one we mentioned. There's a proposal out there to create a 3% surcharge on personal incomes over $500,000.
On top of the 10%.
Oh, yes, 11%. Yes. This is a surcharge just for those rich people, and we talked about that.
Yeah.
That the 1% pay 40% of the taxes. The top 10% of taxpayers pay 98% of the taxes,
and that's not enough.
And that, oh no, we're gonna charge them more. They need more money.
Vermont is turning into the company store. At the end of the week, it's like we find out, do we have any left for us?
And top it all off, of course, the legislature's big priority is to do something about the floods. How about an $85 million omnibus flood recovery bill? It just doesn't stop.
Did I miss? Is there an orchard that in the back of the state house that's got an orchard full of money trees?
I certainly hope so, because my wallet's wearing thin.
Yeah, it reminds me of a cartoon I saw years ago. In a men's magazine. And there's a person on the phone with the bank. I can't be out of money. I still have checks.
Well, I think that's the way the legislature certainly thinks. That's going to wrap it up for this week's folks. Make sure you check us out as a podcast. Send us a message online.
RightSideUpRadio@gmail.com.
Stay safe. Stay informed. Listen to Right Side Up.